ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मेतयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। वि कंटिन्यू फ्रॉम यस्टरडेज इंट्रोडक्शन टू दि भक्ति योग 12th चैप्टर ऑफ दि भगवद्गीता। यस्टरडे वि डिस्कस्ड एज एन इंट्रोडक्शन टू और थ्री इंपॉर्टेंट, वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट पॉइंट्स। वन ऑफ दि पॉइंट इज that every scripture proceeds in a very logical, sequential manner. And that is also very useful for us to remember. If you take the example of some sutras, Narada Bhakti Sutra, etc., what are we going to talk about? Say, let us take the example of Yoga Sutras. Athato Yoga. Vyakhyasyamaha. We are going to discuss about yoga. What is yoga? Yoga chitta vritti yoga. And if we are not in a state of yoga, then what happens? Vritti sarupyam itaratra. So when our mind is controlled, then we know who we are. And when our mind is not controlled, two things happen. We do not know who we are, and we think we are somebody else. And then, what is the reason why we forget? Then, how to regain back that memory? All the sadhanas are not to gain something new, but to re-remember who we really are. And Bhagavad Gita also points out to the same truth. At the end of the teaching, Bhagavan Krishna puts one question to Arjuna. Only one question. Arjuna puts lots of questions. But Krishna puts one question. Every teacher should put one question. Every Swami should put one question to the devotees. Have you understood what I have been talking about? If you had understood, this should have been the result. Kachideta shrutam partha payikagrena cetasa kaschid ajnana sammohaha pranastaste dhananjaya. See the sequence, how beautifully it comes. If you had really heard, then you should have understood. If you hear, then you will understand. Sometimes you may not understand, but you do understand, I have not understood. And that is the step to real understanding. Yes. But to think that, yes, without understanding, to think that I have understood. That is the worst problem anybody can encounter or should encounter. So, did you hear it? And if you have heard it, very beautiful expression, kaschit ajnana sammoha pranastaste. As you were, ajnana produces sammoha. Ajnana means ignorance. Ignorance produces delusion. But there is one state where ignorance doesn't produce any result. In our deep sleep, there is deep ajnana, but there is no delusion. There is no knowledge as well as there is no delusion. That is why it is a state of bliss. That's why we say ignorance is bliss. And most of the worldly pleasures or everything connected with the world is because we don't know what is the world, so it is bliss. If your ignorance is destroyed, and what do you get? Knowledge. But what do you mean by knowledge? No, you don't get knowledge. You don't need to get knowledge. You just remember what you are. Because already you have knowledge. Each one of us have a knowledge. Is it right knowledge or wrong knowledge? If you ask anybody, you say, I am so and so. Is that right knowledge? No, that's not right knowledge. That is wrong knowledge. How do we know what is right knowledge? This is beautiful English expressions are there. Know the truth and the truth liberates you. So if we know what is the truth, truth liberates us. Beautiful. I will give you small examples. A person is addicted to taking poison. Now he doesn't know that he is slowly committing suicide. Anybody who is addicted to smoking, drinking, drugs, these are what is called extreme expressions. So we think. But that is not the truth. These are mildest poisons compared to other types of poisons, like getting married. Yes. Looks like joking. I am not joking. Because you respect every sannyasi. Why do you do it? You know instinctively this person has gone out of misery, which we are going to. That is the truth. And that should be our goal. That's why, as we discussed yesterday, the evolution of human life proceeds through first learn, then practice, then get dispassion, move on to the higher level, brahmachari ashrama, garhasthya ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, and sannyasa ashrama. One should also get out of sannyasa ashrama, because sannyasa is still an ashrama. There is still that abhimana. I am a monk. Everybody should respect me. If any householder dares to give any spiritual talk, how does a monk pass remarks over him? Yes, the monk, most of the monks, they either ignore or look down or think that, okay, let him give. No harm. That's what Sri Ramakrishna also says, that a person who is not entitled, Sri Ramakrishna's parables, the story of the Bhagavata Pandit.
Yes.
Oh Pandit, you understand first. And when he understood, what did he do?
He left.
He took sannyasa and left, find out somebody else.
Yeah.
This is the process. So we have to remember, what is the point? We should never lose the point, the thread. Otherwise, everything becomes loose. What is the point here? We are discussing evolution, human evolution. Ultimate evolution is to know who you are. Ajnana means that which covers our memory. That's what Bhagavan Krishna specifically, kaschit ajnana sammoha pranastasti. O Dhananjaya, has your ignorance been destroyed? And if you have, your ignorance has been destroyed, then you would recollect what all the things you have been doing so far. What was Arjuna's categorical answer? Nashto mohaha. My ignorance is gone. Then what is the result of that? Smritihi labdha. I gained back my memory. What is gaining back? This is called recollectedness. Remembrance. So what is remembrance? An experience which we already had. We had forgotten temporarily. We are getting it back. This is called remembrance. Experience first time. After that, any number of times, recollectedness, remembrance, smriti. So our whole past life is in the form of the smriti. Arjuna categorically says, I got back my memory. Shankaracharya, he gives specific comment on that. What did Arjuna gain? What memory did he gain? The memory that I am not Arjuna, I am the Atma. The moment anybody gains that memory, because this is one thing common to everybody, if you remember, who are you? I am so and so. Who are you? I am so and so. But when they gain real memory, who are you? I am Atman. Who are you? I am Atman. Who are you? I am Atman. That is common. So that is what Arjuna gained. But the crucial point here is, how did you gain back that memory? Tvat prasada.
By your grace.
O Lord, by your grace. Maya achyuta. That is a beautiful word, achyuta. Is one of the 1000 names of Vishnu, Sahasranama. Achyuta. Chyuta means to slip away, to get oneself removed from where one was. But the God, he cannot move away because there is no place for him to move about. What does that mean? He cannot have any other memory. He can have only one memory. You can have other memory because there are myriads of objects there. So you can identify yourself. So do you ever think that I am my house?
Never.
Hmm? Nope. Anybody thinks I am my car? Anybody thinks I am my dress? All of us think. Every one of us. Let somebody touch your car.
Yeah.
Who is that? Who suffers? When car is scratched, who suffers? Even aeroplane seat, which we know is only for a short time, if anybody happens to occupy it, especially if it is a window seat, we get scratches. Quarrels come like that. So we are identified with our body, we are identified with our possessions. How do we know? Does your car care whether it is scratched or not? Who cares? That is the truth. This is called mamakara. Ahankara always go with mamakara. There cannot be limited ego without identifying with oneself. Everything that is connected, my enemy. If my enemy is scratched, who is affected? I didn't say who becomes sad. I said who is affected. Yes, I get my BP goes up. You understand what is BP?
Pleasure.
Blood pleasure. Yeah, especially if my enemy goes back without my making any effort. కావలసిన పనే గంధర్వులు చేస్తారని చెప్తారు కదా. సో దట్ ఇస్ ది దిస్ ఇస్ ది ట్రూత్. వీఆర్ ఐడెంటిఫైడ్ విత్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్ ఓన్లీ విత్ దిస్ పర్టిక్యులర్ పర్సనాలిటీ. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్ విత్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ కనెక్టెడ్ విత్ దిస్ బాడీ అండ్ మైండ్. బట్ అర్జున సేస్, బై యువర్ గ్రేస్ ఐ హ్యావ్ రికలెక్టెడ్, ఐ నో నౌ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ హూ ఐ యామ్. ది మూమెంట్ అర్జున హెస్ డిజపియర్డ్, Atman has appeared. Will there be any enemy called Duryodhana, Dushyasana, etc.?
Oh, no.
With what? After the regaining his memory. A person who knows I am the Atman, how does he look upon anything, if at all there is anything? Only as? There is no choice. Only as Atman. Then the moment a person puts on that particular vision, then there are no enemies. But there will be duties. No enemy but duties. This is what the Lord also categorically says. There is nobody who is my own, and there is nobody who is para and apara. E bhajante tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. భగవద్గీత హీ సేస్, ఆత్మ ఉపమ్యేన సర్వత్ర సమం పశ్యతి యో అర్జున సుఖం వా ఇది వదుకం సయోగి పరమో మత. ది ఆర్ ఆల్ కనెక్టెడ్ థింగ్స్. that universal vision, when it comes, universal vision means what? Everything is the divine Lord. Then there would be no enmity. Now, our question would be, suppose there is a person, he is a soldier, he is about to commence battle, and he is about to discharge his arrows. After this vision, will he continue or not continue?
Continue.
He will continue for two reasons. Because he has got a personality. But when he continues the battle, he doesn't do it with the old idea. He has an entirely new idea. What is it? Leela. In Leela, anything can happen. This is the wonderful thing. Most of the time, our idea of Leela is that it is Krishna that is dancing with so many gopis. This is Leela. What about his lifting Govardhana? Leela. What about his annihilating Kamsa, Shishupala, Dantavaktara and so many myriads of people? Was it Leela or not? What is Leela? Seemingly real, but it is a sport, divine sport. For a Jivan Mukta, everything is a divine sport. That is why when Swami Vivekananda was asked, what is life? He gave three answers, if you remember. Life is a school, life is a gymnasium, and life is a circus. But you cannot give any answer you like. Depends upon at what stage of evolution we are. We are here to learn our lessons. Beautiful idea. And that is what I will link to this last verse in the 11th chapter. Mat karma krim mat varamo. Associate everything with me. Then what does it become? That karma becomes?
Puja.
Leela. Puja. Everything is divine. I am the playmate. But before we come to that, we have to start at the very beginning. First step. What is the first step? Life is a school. A school is meant for what? To learn our lessons. But when we come out of the school, then you see, we have to practice. That is why at the end of certain course, a degree course usually, a convocation address is given by some wise person, elderly person. Usually in India they used to invite Swami Ranganathanji for most of the convocation addresses. And most often he used to quote Taittiriya Upanishad, Sikshavali, I think 11th Anuvaka, what is called the most wonderful convocation address ever given by anybody in this whole universe from the beginning of time. So, Acharya, etad anushasti. There, it is not a suggestion, it is not a request, but it is a commandment. What is the commandment? Satyam vadha. Vadha. South Indians usually. Satyam vadha. Speak truth. What is speaking truth? Only speaking truth?
Yeah.
We all speak truth most of the time. You know, most of the time we speak truth only. When it becomes inconvenient, then only maje maje ashatti kotha boli. Maje maje paan khai. Because most of the time it's not a life and death situation. You know what breakfast you had? What did you do? What were you listening? These are all very innocent things. We do not need to say anything, tell a lie. But when we think either they are really going to affect our life or we think they are going to affect our life, then we are likely to tend untruth. But as we discussed yesterday, practice of truthfulness requires certain qualifications. There should be fearlessness. And there should be faith. Shraddha. There should be reliance upon God. And there should be total giving up everything, our responsibilities on the shoulders of God. Then only truthfulness is possible. Simply, if anyone thinks I am going to practice truthfulness, it's not going to be practical. So sometimes, in the interest of spiritual life, you may have to tell an untruth, continue telling an untruth. Example, one disciple wrote to Holy Mother, Mother, I have to tell untruth, many lies in my office. And Sri Ramakrishna's teaching is always practice truthfulness. So I am thinking of giving up the job, because he cannot keep the job and going on telling the truth. Our product is a worthless product. Don't go on buying it. The job will be lost. This letter was written to Holy Mother by one of her sincere devotees. What was her reply?
No, you continue
even if you have to tell the lies. Was Mother telling that you continue speaking the lies?
No,
she was telling that if you rebel against it, you will lose your job. If you lose your job, for there is every possibility that you may not get a new job. And you are a householder with a wife, with children, and tomorrow when your children are not getting sufficient even to eat, then you will be ready for greater crimes like robbery and murder. So, to prevent those deeper crimes, in comparison, this is the one thing. These are the situations we are encountering nowadays more and more and more. I'll just give an example. Only just 3 days back, one man came to me and said that my job is in jeopardy. Why? Because I'm in the habit of speaking my opinion to the boss, and my boss told me that who asked you to speak. So he's telling the truth. So he said 2 examples he gave. So when there was a meeting, this man said, I think this is the cause why we are not improving our production. And the boss, of course, he got offended. After 4 or 5 days, they called an expert, and that's what the expert said, what this man had suggested. But because this man had suggested, and the boss didn't like. Another example he gave was, this office was misbehaving with another colleague. So, probably the boss. This man went and said, sir, that lady is suffering, so I'm just telling you. So that he might modify his behavior. He said, who the hell asked you to tell me all those things? Means, who are you to tell me those things? I know how to behave. You see, the thing is, he is trying to only do something good, with good heart, not even criticizing. But people cannot take it. This is the age we are living in. Now, he came and said, what shall I do? I asked him, are you thinking of giving up the job? He said, yes. Do you have any prospect of getting any? His wife lost her job in another company, and they had 2 children. And at the same time, he is also, maybe he will lose the job if he behaves like that. He said, by hook or crook, keep your job. Now, can he practice truthfulness? He cannot. He can, provided he relies totally upon God. Like Prahlada, like M. M, you know? He didn't like Vidyasagar's remarks about Sri Ramakrishna. He gave up, resigned. And he came and told Sri Ramakrishna, I resigned. But he was not a millionaire. He had nothing to depend upon. Sri Ramakrishna said, you have done well. Within 2-3 days, he got a higher job, but don't expect that he's going to he's going to come as running and he's then offering a new job. He can do that. But there are 2 conditions. One condition is, we ignore our prarabdha karma. Even Sri Ramakrishna cannot do anything about prarabdha. He can do, but he won't do.
Why?
Because every prarabdha karma has a purpose. That is what we are discussing about. Life is all about learning lessons. First learn the lessons. Then we have to put them into practice. That is, as brahmachari, you learn the lessons. As a grihastha, you practice them. If you have practiced them, your mind becomes recollected, peaceful, content, serene, and then it also gets the incentive to think of higher things. That is when he progresses into vanaprasthashrama. That is what Swamiji had meant. The second answer to what is life is, it is a gymnasium. You develop your moral and spiritual muscles. And then the last step is, when a person had become a jnani, not jignasu, but jnani, then the whole world becomes what?
Circus.
Even great philosophers, with tremendous conviction, also come to that conclusion. There was a Greek philosopher, he used to say, this world is a dream. But others didn't understand him. So the youth, especially, they wanted to teach him a lesson. So one day they were dragging him by his feet on cobbled roads. And then they asked, do you still say that this world is a dream? He said, yes, it is still a dream, but a very painful dream. For most of us, life is not that painful a dream. But we make it painful through our... There are people, you know, Holocaust, Syria, and then now these victims of this Harvey, etc., etc., Jews in the Holocaust. These are all terrible trials in life. Very difficult. But how many of us are in that condition? Even this... people in Houston who suffered, how much time they suffered? Just 3-4 days. Did I suffer? I was there. Did I suffer?
No.
But I was enjoying.
Yes.
Why, you know? Not because...
No devotee.
What a blissful time has gone, you know. That recollection itself... Very happy person. Okay, so what is the third answer? What is life?
It is a circus.
Our goal, even if we, every Jivan Mukta, it is a circus. He is a companion in the playmate. That is what happens. Very good. Okay, so coming back to our yesterday's class. This is the introduction. I said Vyasa Paddhati means what? Chronological connection sequence. From here you process. Actually, this particular verse, I think 55th verse in the 11th chapter, is expounded, elaborated in the 12th chapter. Because the same ideas again come, we will just briefly discuss. Mat Karma Krit. For whom? It's not meant for everybody. So, it is also good, I think, to remember the process of evolution from a different perspective. So, there are 4 steps. Karma, Dharma, Nishkama Karma, and Moksha. This is another way of looking at evolution. What is that? Animals and what is called illiterate people or unregenerate people, they do karma. And every karma produces its result.
Yes.
But, so sometimes we are happy, sometimes we are unhappy. Here also very interesting point. That point is, how much happy and how much unhappy we are. What is the proportion? 50-50? It is 50-50. What is? It is like one horse versus one
rabbit.
Now, how much dukkha? Which is dukkha and which is sukha?
Needless to say, very obvious.
Do we realize it? You know, for a man or a woman nowadays, work whole day practically, about 10 to 12 hours to 14 hours, for what? To get some food, to stay in a house and to enjoy little pleasures of life, is it not?
Yes.
How much payment? Yes, a small boy went up to his father and asked,
oh,
Dad, how much did you spend for your marriage?
I don't know, son.
The man said, my son, I do not know, I am still spending. So this is the condition. Whole life we are working for what purpose? For happiness. Until we turn to spiritual life, this paying more for less doesn't stop. What is spiritual life? You pay less and you enjoy
more,
you get more. That is why it is said, even a little bit practice of this pratyavayu svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. That's what in the second chapter, you know, Bhagavad Gita says. So if you practice neha vikramanasho asti pratyavayu na vidyate svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. It is in the second chapter. Na iha avikrama nasha asti. Every action, unless it is completed, will not give its result. You know, suppose you started going home. You reached only halfway. You don't get the result of home. But in this practice, even if you take God's name little bit, even if you have controlled your mind little bit, even for a second you have done that, instantaneously the result will be there. And this is the greatest thing that happened. Pratyavaya, there is no pratyavaya there. What is pratyavaya? Not doing what we are supposed to do produces papa. For example, nitya karma, naimittika karma, doing our regular spiritual practices, worshipping God, these are nitya. According to Vedas, all karmas are divided into five categories. What are they? Nitya, Naimittika, Kamya, Nishiddha, Prayaschitta. Why is Nishiddha, means forbidden, prohibited actions, considered as under actions? Because we have to work harder not to do certain things. You see, negative things, I don't want to do this, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
So five types of actions. If we do not follow the injunctions of the scriptures, then we get papa. What is papa?
Suffering.
We suffer. That is the truth about it. Every action yields its result. So when man progresses a little bit, his understanding, all progress is only in
understanding.
That is called knowledge, right knowledge. From wrong knowledge to right knowledge. So the moment he understands it, every karma will not do. It is only dharma karma which will yield more result for less. So less investment, more income. When a person understands, then he cannot go back to the old. He will only follow. So how do I know what is right action and what is not right action? That is where the scriptures alone come. Ye shastra vidimutsrujya vartate kamakarataha nasasiddhim avapnoti. The person who neglects the scriptural injunctions and vartate kamakarataha, he behaves according to his impulse, then he neither attains perfection nor obtains happiness on this earth. He loses both. In the 17th chapter, this is what Arjuna's question was. A person, but he tries to do what is good, but without following the scriptures. Does it lead to some better result? The Lord categorically says, E vartate shastra vidhim utsrujya, giving up the directions given by the scripture. It is very simple. Suppose you are driving in a new place, first time. There is no GPS. You might reach your destination, but it may be after long searching. But if you have got GPS, it is much quicker. You may even suffer. Who knows? So, what is the second step? Dharma. So, having led a dharmic life for a long time, when a person enjoys, but every time our karma phala comes to an end, what I call, you have to top it up. You all are familiar with topping it up. But this dharmic topping up is very difficult because you don't feel, our natural inclination is not to do topping up. Once, okay, by mistake, my father told, mother told, uncle told, Swami told, I do it. But until it becomes natural, then we get disgusted, tired. How long? Then comes, is there any way to get all the benefit without topping it up? Only once we do it, without topping it up. Yes. What is it called? Nishkama karma. And there are two types of nishkama karma. In fact, most of us do not know that there is a sakama karma. The whole first part of Vedas are concerned only with what?
Sakama
karma. You worship God, you please God, you do yajnas, you do yagas. And that is called sakama karma. Why is it called sakama yoga? Karma yoga. Not sakama, karma yoga. Because you are, every action you are doing is associated with God. Whether it is Agni Devata, Indra Devata, Varuna Devata, or whichever Ashwini Devatas, it is all related to some higher manifestation of God. And therefore it purifies. So what happens when we follow the scriptures and do Sakama Karma Yoga, it produces two results. Sakama Karma Yoga produces two results. And there is no choice. You don't come to a fork and say, this path is Nishkama Karma Yoga and this path is Sakama Karma Yoga. It doesn't come. First stage is Sakama Karma Yoga. The next stage is Nishkama Karma Yoga. So, what are the two results that are produced? First, because we are following scriptures. And scriptures only tell what is right to do and forbid expressly not to do anything wrong. Therefore, the result will always give us happiness only. But because we are following the scriptures and thinking about God, and simple example, if you have to do some puja, say Dasharatha performed Putra Kameshti, we are performing the Ramakrishna's Janmadinotsava with puja, Shodashopachara puja. There are certain rules. You have to fast, you have to take bath, put on a fresh cloth, everything you have to, you know, all these things, slowly what do? They purify our heart slowly. So two results. One is this ananda upabhoga, another is chitta shuddhi. And this chitta shuddhi, in course of time, leads to the path called nishkama karma yoga. Now this nishkama karma yoga again forks into two. Nishkama karma yoga before realization and nishkama karma yoga after realization. What is before realization? What is nishkama? Kama means desire. Nishkama means desireless. It is a misnomer to think that there is something called nishkama. Kama means what? Desire. Desireless action. Action and desirelessness never go together. Action means there is a desire. Then what does this mean? That means, I don't want finite things, I want only infinite. This is called Nishkama Karma Yoga. I want God, I want Atma. So that is, I don't want anything of the world. So that produces again two results. This, what is called? Sangavarjitaha means what? My attachment to the world becomes less and my attachment to God becomes more. So that is the Nishkama Karma Yoga before God realization. And after God realization, if God chooses to use this body and mind, that is true Nishkama. That is why Swami Vivekananda, he cites the example of Bhagavan Buddha. Did Bhagavan Buddha did this Nishkama Karma Yoga before realization or after realization? After realization, there is a incident there. The moment he realized, he was in such an ecstatic state, he went dancing round and round that Bodhi tree. 14 days he was unable to stop. Like Swami Vivekananda, the day he had the vision of the Divine Mother, and then he learned that song, Amarma Tvamhitara, went the whole night, he went round the temple singing this, only this song, Amarma Tvamhitara. Buddha went round 14 days, it is said. Then Brahma came and said, what are your plans? Buddha said, I want to give up the body. Because he is like the person who climbed that compound wall, enclosed wall. The moment he saw, he felt like. But he was like the third man or fourth man. Then Brahma said, you have to live and preach. Then Buddha is said to have replied, but who is going to receive my teaching? Then Brahma said, beautiful explanation. You see, there are millions of people on earth. Most of them, they don't want your teaching. So your preaching is totally useless for them because they don't want. There are a few people who have already realized God. They don't need your teaching. But there are a few number of people who want to realize God. They do not know what is the way. Your teaching will be highly useful for them. Then Buddha agreed, it is said. This is called Nishkama. That Buddha, after realization, was what Swami Vivekananda was showing. He is the perfect Nishkama Karma Yogi in the Karma Yoga. Simply, if you are thinking, the Buddha who just married Yashodhara, was he doing Nishkama Karma Yoga? Was he doing Nishkama Karma Yoga or Sakama Karma Yoga?
But
Maharaj... No, he was not even doing Sakama Karma Yoga.
Not Karma Yoga.
And which perfectly illustrates what I have been talking. You marry, and then this you become immediately transformed into a jignasu.
That was the Nishkama Karma. Because he is going for the infinite.
That is the Nishkama Karma before realization. Because he was already a prince. He had a kingdom.
Yes.
He had a beautiful wife. He had a beautiful son. His worldly happiness is full. But he wanted, he was born to show the way for others, not for himself. He was an incarnation. They are not karma janmis, they are karana janmis. They are born for this purpose. So his mind became restless. That is where the Girish Chandra Ghosh had a vision. Judai iti chai, kothai judai, kotha hote ashi, kotha bheshe jai. Oh, what a beautiful song. So, the Buddha, when he went for doing tapasya, to realize God, or to know the truth, that was the Nishkama Karma before realization. After realization, no, because he had attained everything. He had nothing to attain. With this background, come to this verse. What is this? Mat karma krit mat paramo. Mat karma krit. What does mat karma krit mean? Karma means karma. Krit means one who does the karma. But he is not telling simply you go on doing actions. He says mat karma. Associate every karma with me. What does that mean? That means your desire for doing any karma should be only to please me, to obtain me, to get my grace. Is it possible for us? Because the Lord never said anything which is not practical for us. That doesn't mean for first today itself we will get it.
But go on praying. Oh Lord, let me think of you. Let me do every action for pleasing you. Now, one misconception we have to get rid of. Suppose I associate every work. Do I not have desires then? Yes, I have desires. Mm. This is called Sakama Karma Yoga. Mm. So if I do thing rightly, I will get the right result. Nobody can take me away from it. But if I do it as a Sakama Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means what? Yoga means what? Associate with God. Two things will happen, I said. First is I get what I want.
Happiness.
And that also means I will not be able to do by hook or crook. I will do exactly what is right. That is called Dharma Karma. But so many people do Dharma Karma without associating the actions with God. But they will get Punya. But they will not get Chitta Shuddhi.
Right.
It's only Sakama Karmis who get Chitta Shuddhi. Dharma Karma is simply doing the right actions, but they will get the result. So, this Mat Karma Krit, first stage is do Sakama Karma Yoga. Next, slowly, when your heart is purified, you will do Nishkama Karma. So, Sakama Karma Yoga, if we associate every karma with God, what does it lead to? Mat Paramaha. That means what? For in your eyes, in the eyes of the practitioner of Sakama Karma Yoga, then I become supreme goal. Parama Purushartha. God becomes Parama Purushartha. He becomes the highest goal. And that also can be understood in this way. Another name for God is what? Ananda. Ananda. That is why we have to understand it clearly. See, somebody goes to meditate. After coming back, you ask him, that what were you doing? I was meditating. Meditating upon whom? Upon God. But why was it? Before you went for meditation, you were very peaceful. After coming out of meditation, you are very peaceful. Full of pieces. You went to pieces. Because you know the person is thinking all negative thoughts. We have to decide. That is why Swami Vivekananda said, if you have a small shrine, before entering into the shrine, keep all your negative thoughts and wrong thoughts and bad thoughts and every unpositive thought outside. And go and think only positive thoughts. Make a practice. After some time, whenever you have got a negative thought, the moment you enter into the shrine, it becomes into positive thought. Because you have built up that beautiful vibrations there. So this is the idea. Mat Paramaha. Then what happens? This person, he understands clearly, my goal is God. God means what? Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So let us understand. What is Sat? The word Sat leads to three meanings. We say Sat Purusha. Sat Sangha. What does that mean? Holy company. Sat Purusha means what?
Holy person.
A holy person. So holiness. Sat also means goodness. This is the first meaning. Goodness. Holiness, purity, this is one meaning, Sat. Sat Sangha means that which makes me a better person, good person, okay? What is the second meaning of Sat? If there is a good person, he must turn to truthfulness, Satya. The word Satya comes from this word Sat. So Satya, it leads me to speak truth. And that is the first stage. Speaking truth leads one
seeking.
Truth to seeking. Satya Anveshana. Satya Bhashana leads me to Satya Anveshana. This is the second meaning. First is goodness, holiness, purity. Second is truthfulness. The third is Sat means existence, pure existence. That means I become immortal, immortality. So, these are the three meanings. progress in spiritual life involves all these three stages. If a person is practicing good karma, then this should be the result. What is the second thing? Chit. What is chit? The chitta. Chit and chitta are separate words. Chitta means mind. Chit means consciousness, knowledge. So a person also grows in understanding. And you know, as our understanding grows, our whole life also
changes.
And of course, the moment that happens, we are practicing goodness, we are practicing truthfulness, we are thinking of God, and our understanding, consciousness is also becoming better. Natural result should be ananda. This is what Sri Ramakrishna says, the nearer one approaches the ocean, the more cool breeze he will enjoy. So that should be the right krama, if we understand it. Meditation on God means what? All these three things are involved. So how could a person be unhappy after meditation? Before meditation, there is a possibility. But after meditation, certainly the person must be a better person. So this is the way this mat paramaha, a person understands in every way, I will be a better person. Because here is something very interesting. Swami Vivekananda makes a statement, very enigmatic statement if we do not understand it. He says, as man grows, God also grows. What is the meaning of God growing? Do you think that God really grows? So he gives a beautiful example. There is a huge open space, but it is covered with a curtain. And there was a small hole. So one person is looking at the open space through that hole only. How much could he see? Very little. But he enlarges the hole. And then he sees more. Then he enlarges more. And then he sees much more. So the more he enlarges that view, then his view also becomes more and more. This is called God growing. So the Maidan is not growing, but our capacity to experience is growing because we are enlarging the instrument. Ultimately, you remove the
curtain.
Then we become one with the Maidan. This is Sri Ramakrishna's beautiful example. That's what Swami Vivekananda meant. As man grows, he is also, God also
grows.
That means his understanding of God also grows. This is the first point. The second point is, when our understanding grows, everything is dependent upon understanding. We are becoming that understanding. You cannot say, me and my understanding are two separate things. And that is a state we are in. What is the understanding? Suppose somebody comes and says, you are Paramatma. First class lecture, you are Paramatma. Did you understand? Yes, I understood. Did you understand? No, you didn't understand. What did you understand? The Swami said, I am Paramatma. That I understood. But I am Paramatma, I didn't understand. Because I still continue the same old identity. So when real understanding comes, our whole identity changes. So our understanding and true understanding and our identity, they are inseparable. Intellectual understanding, that is intellectual understanding. That's a different issue. True understanding, that is our whole personality reacts. The moment you understand this is a tiger, it is poison, nobody need to tell that you get away from there. Instinctively, we react. That is true understanding. So as man understands really, then he understands that there is nobody in this world who is mine, excepting God. When that understanding comes, mat karma krit leads to mat paramaha. These are the progressive steps. But then three results will be the outcome. What is the first mad bhaktaha? Here, the moment I understand, my highest happiness can come only from here. I automatically become a devotee because we are all devoted only to three things.
Happiness.
We want to live, as I mentioned. Again, let me mention, because this is a wonderful concept, but we should make it our own. What is it?
You want to be alive.
You have to understand that I am that. We have to grow into that really. So that is what happens. The moment we understand, we are all after all, we are all what? We are all after happiness. That's our non-controversial statement. But you have to understand that if I want to be happy, two things must be automatically connected with that.
I should be alive?
First of all, I should be. If I am dead, and after my death, if somebody feeds me all the things that I desire, yeah, something, that's what happens, you know. One of our Swamis, senior Swamis, he was about 80 years old or something, was being teased by a junior Swami. The junior Swami went to the senior Swami and then teasing, you know, what a wonderful bhandara. The senior Swami asked him, hey, you all love me? He answered, yes, unison. After my death, what will you do? He said, Maharaj, we will give the biggest bhandara any Swami got. The senior Swami said, what good will you do to me after my death? Better you give it to me right now. Let me enjoy it now. After death, you fellows will enjoy. What good will you do to me? So, like that, we have to be
alive.
And we have to be aware that I am alive and I am happy. This is a most important point. It is our awareness that I am happy or I am unhappy. And that is one which we can change. So, I also spoke yesterday. Important point is, we already have decided, fixed, how happy I will be, how happy I will not be. We have fixed. And we are not understanding, we have fixed. We have to accept. We have our sukha, dukkha depends upon our valuation. Simple example. What things Sri Ramakrishna had? He didn't have air conditioned room, he didn't have attached bathroom, he didn't have a refrigerator, he didn't have all those cars and everything. Was he supremely happy or not? How do we know? Because the people who used to visit him, one visit used to make them ecstatic for 1 week. They used to be reeling with intoxication. If the persons who keeping one darshan of Sri Ramakrishna were so happy, how happy the person must be?
Source.
The source must be.
Yeah.
So, then what did he have externally? Nothing. Then what is the reason, what is the cause of his happiness? Because he decided that I will be very happy whatever happens. Only devotee's language is, whatever mother bestows, I will be happy. What a wonderful thing that we have to practice. This is called Sharanagati. Otherwise, who is expected to do Sharanagati? Every devotee expects God to surrender to him and say, whatever I desire, I want you to do that. Is it not a fact? And if he doesn't do, we get disappointed. What type of God you are? I thought that I have better understanding than you.
You don't know what I...
No. The devotee knows that God knows. But he's refusing. to comply with my wishes. Yeah, my idea of God is that which whoever complies with my wishes makes me happy, he is God. Is it not? This is the truth. This is the practical life. But a true devotee is whatever happens, I don't care. But I will be a very happy person, he fixes. That is called yoga. This is an important point. What is spiritual life? We fix and say, I will decide to be happy, whatever be the situation. That doesn't prevent me from improving my life. But it prevents me from being unhappy, depending upon certain conditions, either fulfilled or unfulfilled. That is important. This is called inner transformation. That is our goal. So when a person really understands everything is anitya, Sri Ramakrishna, when he was very great observer, so he used to see these villagers, they quarrel, and then they go to court, or they get beget children, and the children die. But they don't realize this is the condition throughout eternally. Samsara means what? It is beset with dukkha. Dukkha mishrita sukha. 50-50. He doesn't understand it. Goes on year after year, producing children. They are dying and still they don't stop. Similarly, they go to court and they court ruin and still they don't stop quarreling. All for what? For a small piece of land. And at the same time, sometimes court cases are not finished. This fellow, he goes away. Sri Ramakrishna observed it. Then he saw his own father's death. Then he also saw the real spiritual action came after his eldest brother passed away. So that is true understanding. And that understanding, when it comes as a result of mat paramaha, means what? This is the understanding. God alone is real. Everything else is an aid. And again, don't go on mistaking. It is whatever we call unreal. This is all the Shankara and Shankara's followers' statements. What a bhakta says, everything else is a help to reach this goal. That's what even Shankaraites also. They have to do puja. They do puja. Shiva puja and Saraswati puja. Both pujas they do. So they don't, they go on saying they deny the world, but they do the pujas. A bhakta says, this is also God's creation. Why did God create? Only one purpose. It is for my learning the lessons. It is a school created for me specially. This is the law of karma. When a person goes to that, he becomes a bhakta. Bhakta means what? I only love God, nothing else. This is called bhakta. The moment he becomes bhakta, then he is attached to only
God.
The moment he is attached to God, what does that mean? Everything takes secondary place. That is called sangha varjitaha. Varjitaha means not that he doesn't recognize the value of it, but he doesn't say, without this I cannot live. He says, this is good, it has served me, it is serving me, it will serve me, it will be useful. But if it goes away, I will not grieve for it. Because everything gets valuation when it is associated with God. So that is the Sangha Varjitaha. Then, as soon as Sangha goes away, another important result takes place. All our raga and dvesha is due to what? Sangha. And sangha is due to what? Sangha means what?
Association.
What does that mean? No. Sangha means we think this will give me happiness. This person gives me happiness. This job gives me happiness. This place gives me happiness. This situation gives me happiness. And this doesn't. And the moment we fix such a thing, naturally we gravitate towards those things, that place, that person, that situation, that job, that everything, that is called Sangha. And the other automatically, this is the beauty of it. When we are in worldly people, we are 50% Sanghavarjitas. 50% Sanghavarjitas. Automatically. The same thing happens to a devotee. The moment he realizes that this is the only value in life, supreme value in life, Parama Purusharta, then all the Sangha will disappear. The moment that Sangha becomes secondary or even less than that, then who is your enemy? There is no enemy. On the other hand, there is only friend. What is friend? Everything that pushes me towards God is a help. And there, the enemies and friends, both of them help me. Like Tulasidas says, you know, two people give me the greatest joy in life. My santas and my enemies, wicked people. Santas and sajjanas and durjanas. When sajjanas approach me, they give me the greatest joy. When durjanas depart from me, they give me the greatest joy. Is it not every day wearing?
Yes.
Yeah. That is why, you know, when somebody comes to you, you know that, what is that called? Emojis. So, when somebody comes, the mouth will be like that. And that person, unwanted person, and that person is going away. Is it not a fact?
Yes.
But we are hypocrites. We don't say that. I'm so glad to see you. I'm glad to see you is a truthful statement. I'm gladder to see you all. It is day to day, every day we are practicing it. In every way. And that is what exactly happens. Nirvairaha sarva bhuteshu. He has no enemy at all. But again, yesterday I hinted, a saint doesn't have enemies. But others may consider him as undesirable as enemies. That is unavoidable. Actually, they are also helping him. Because these are what is called targets. How do you become a saint? Suppose everybody is a friend. Will you ever hope to become a saint?
No.
There must be some people who are going to pull you down to criticize you. And they are your greatest well-wishers.
Yeah.
Because they are telling you that what defects you have got. If you have got to go to a psychiatrist, you have to pay heavily. Always a psychiatrist. You know, here is called shrink. In America, a psychiatrist is called a shrink. Do you know that? So somebody asked me, I asked myself, why is he called a shrink? Because he shrinks your bank balance. And nothing happens. Yeah, I told you, you know, one Canadian psychiatrist, Providence. I think you were there. We were eating. I asked him, what is the outcome? He said, outcome.
Zero.
But huge income. It is true. Psychiatry, Western psychiatry cannot help us. Why? Patanjali gives the answer. Because vritti sarupyam itaratra. Until we know who we are, this madness cannot be cured. Only we can shift from one type of madness to another type of madness. That's all this. Vritti sarupyam itaratra. Whenever we are identified other than the truth, then that itself is a cause of grief, misery, suffering, unhappiness. So this cannot help. That is one point. The second point is, Western psychology is very defective because they attribute everything to experiences that happened in this life only. But the truth is, the same event may be experienced by two people and both of them react in totally different ways. How do you explain that? Maybe sometimes the same children born in the same family. The classical example is Ravanasura, Vibhishana and Kumbhakarna.
Yes.
How Ravanasura and Vibhishana reacted to the same situation. So this depends upon Purva Janma Samskara. So without accepting that the samskaras are not merely products of this particular life, but they go far back, and those things they, but in some indirect way, they are accepting it in total. This Aristotle, so definition, that man is a social animal. What does he mean? Man is a social animal. He's an animal. He is a social animal. How do you know? Because you have studied so many animals. They are all social animals. They cannot live without that. So many species. So what happens in a human life? The same animal samskaras are carried forward. Now science is proving Vedanta. What is it telling now? In the past, scientists, now they are changing. In the past, they used to think that man is a unique animal and he is totally different from all other animals. Now after studying so many animals, they are finding more and more, there is nothing unique. He is only continuing, but in a more intelligent way, either for good or bad. This is the result of modern scientific methods. What is the point? The point is, according to the Darwin's theory of evolution, we are all evolved from where? From animals. So could it not be, if we are really evolved from animals, then our animal samskaras, will they not cross over? And then do we not start from where we stopped?
Yeah.
Then how do you deny past lives? You know, there is a big contradiction among the scientific community on this question. There are also other questions about evolution which they cannot answer. It says mutation of species. How does one species mutate into another species if there is no relation past life? How does it know? The example they give is a horse-like, small animal, now evolved into giraffe. What is the... if life is not continuous, then what is the relationship between that animal and this animal? They cannot explain, they don't even think about it. So the psychiatrists, psychologists, they cannot accept past life. Because they cannot accept, they will have to give some explanation. And that explanation is wrong explanation. It is coming genes. What is the gene? You know what is the meaning of gene? Whenever you put any difficult question to me, I use the word Maya.
It's in your teeth.
In brackets, what it means is, I don't know, but I don't want you to think that I don't know. This is called Maya. Whenever the scientist doesn't want to accept that he knows the answer, he says it is gene. And we also obedient, because we don't want to be bored by what he is going to explain, because we also don't know what gene is. The point is, there is no other solution excepting spiritual solution.
Yes.
So that is what the Lord is telling. These two steps. Matkarmakrit leads to Matparamaha. Matparamaha certifies I am a devotee of God. If I am a devotee of God, then I will not have any attachment to anything. Because attachment always is followed by detachment. There is nothing called attachment and there is no detachment. If I move towards the east, automatically the west recedes from me. If I like something better, that means automatically I do not like something else. Okay? Now, that attachmentless doesn't mean my heart becomes neutral or it doesn't feel anything. It means my attachment is only towards God or anything that reminds me of God. The moment that understanding comes. Nirvairaha. I have no time, I have no energy, I don't want to think anybody is my enemy. If somebody is my enemy, it only hastens my process, my going towards God, my evolution. That is why dukkha is always good. That is why Kunti prays, O Lord, give me more suffering so that I can always remember. This is the truth. So two truths yesterday we discussed. Without two extreme suffering, nobody can come to God. Why? Yesterday we discussed. If it is small suffering, we get the remedies in this world itself. So we don't turn towards God. But when we don't find the remedy in this world, we have no option but to turn towards God. There is no such option called, if I don't get the remedy, I will stop searching. Automatic struggle. Your head is put under water. So if you cannot breathe, do you say, okay, it is not possible for me, I stop breathing. That's not going to happen. Until we become unconscious or dead, automatic process goes on. So that will turn us towards God. That is why Nirvairaha Sarva Bhuteshu. This is one explanation. The other explanation is, when a person's mind ascends to higher level, what does he see? Everything is God. When a person sees everything, who is an enemy? And if somebody is behaving inimically, who makes that person behave inimically?
God.
Only God. If God is making a person behave inimically towards me, is it for my good?
Yes.
Or for the other person's good?
Both.
But primarily for my benefit. When a person gets that understanding that all the opposing things that are negative things that are happening in my life is by God's will and they are all for my good, he becomes totally nirvairaha. When he becomes nirvairaha sarva bhutesh, such a person, what happens to him? Yaha saha maam eti. He attains me. He attains me means what? He becomes me. I become him, he becomes me. This is the goal. What is the goal? To attain God. How to attain God? Now the question, Arjuna is confused. Because the Lord has praised the jnana path, he also praised the yoga path, he also praised the karma path. That is why in the third chapter, Jayasi Chet Karmanaste Mata Buddhim Janardhana Tatkim Yamisrene Vakyani Buddhim Mohayasi Ome. You just praised Karma Yoga. Earlier you praised. Now you tell me, shall I practice Jnana Yoga or shall I practice Sankhya Yoga Pratak Balaha? So, Sankhya is, that means Karma Yoga is different, Jnana Yoga is different. Pratak Balaha Vadanti. Only unthinking people without discrimination, idiots, fools, they only speak. There are two paths. Two separate paths for two separate goals. He says, no. Ekam sankhyancha yogancha yak pashyati sapashyati. He understands there are two paths. Why two paths? There are four paths. And all four paths lead only to the one goal, who is me. Because God is everywhere. Whichever path you take, you have to reach only God. That is the understanding that time he asked. This time he is asking, he who is devoted to you, and he, the person who follows the path of Jnana Yoga, which is superior, you please make it clear. What is the question here? The Lord is clearly through Arjuna. There are no two separate paths, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. There are no such thing called this is superior and this is inferior. Every path is superior and easier to that person who is fitted for that particular path. This is the first point. The next point is that all of us cannot choose any path we want. we can only choose the path for which we are fit. And most of us are emotional people. Therefore, emotion is concentrated, purified, and directed towards God is called
devotion,
bhakti marga. So if there is no emotion, there would be no devotion at all. So if we are emotional people, the only suitable path for us is bhakti marga. This is the simple truth. So don't get confused. No path is superior, no path is inferior. But that doesn't mean we can choose any path we want. We can only take that path which is suitable for us. This is what Sri Ramakrishna, he illustrates it with a beautiful analogy. A mother has four children and she cooks the same curry in four different ways. And she gives each child same thing with, suitable for the digestive power of that particular. She loves everybody. All of them will be healthy people by eating food. But it doesn't mean she will give the same thing to everybody. So these are interconnected things we have to pull and then say how we understand Bhagavad Gita properly. So how to become a great devotee? In the next few verses, the Lord, first of all, he answers Arjuna's question. Both paths lead to the same goal. But, he says a but. What is that but? For most people, the path of Saguna Upasana is far easier. Kleshu adhikatarastesham avyakta satta chetasam avyakta gatir dukham deha vadbhihi avapya. Deha vadbhihi means what? One who knows that I am the body, identified with the body. That is what Sri Ramakrishna puts it in his own inimitable unique way. Kalikale jeev annagata pran. We are too deeply attached to the body. That is the characteristic of Kalikala. Therefore, for this path, Naradiya Bhakti, the bhakti path enumerated by Narada is the most suitable path. So that is what the Lord says, that you have to follow the devotee's way. He is not saying that the other path doesn't take people to you. He is saying, or any path will take you. But there is no superiority, inferiority. And stupid fellows, even today, there are who go on saying, accepting Jnana Marga, there is no other way. Accepting Krishna, there is no other way. Accepting Jesus, there is no other way. This is called fanatical superior. Now this is, the answer to that is, it is here. Let us follow that which is suitable for us. How do we know which is suitable for us? Usually Hinduism, other religions to posit a teacher. And it is the teacher who can give us the right direction. Just close your eyes, follow what your teacher says, have Shraddha and follow that path. You will reach. This is the way. There is no other way. So the Lord says that Bhakti Marga is suitable. But if I have to become a bhakta, is it so easy? I have decided one day, put up a board. From today onwards, I am a bhakta. It's not easy. We have to have certain qualities. How many qualities? 35 qualities. 35 qualities. From verse 13 to verse 19, in 7 verses, 35 qualities have been enumerated. We will go quickly through those things because this is an introduction. So 3 points you note down. The question of Arjuna, which is superior, which is inferior. No, there is no inferior, there is no superior. But having said that, for most of us, the path of devotion is easier, more suitable, that is the second. Then if you are advising me to become a devotee? Yes, I am advising you to take the path of devotion. So if I have to become a devotee and traverse the path of bhakti yoga, then what do I need to do? It is a journey, means what? Acquisition of certain qualities. And these qualities in total, how many?
30.
That is the third point. Having said this, yesterday I also mentioned, and today also I mentioned, every quality, good or bad, doesn't come in isolation. It always comes in with a group. Because it cannot be supported. If it is not supported, it won't stay. It has to be supported. So, the good news is, if we go on practicing one quality, other qualities we will be forced to practice, and sooner or later we come to understand, without those qualities, we cannot sustain any single quality. We will discuss slowly these points in our future class. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Charanuramardhamam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru.